Two young boys were spending the night with their grandparents, and at bedtime, the boys knelt by their beds and put their hands together and prayed. And the youngest one started praying at the top of his lungs. He goes, "I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new Nintendo. I pray for a new skateboard." And the older brother leaned over and said, "Why are you praying so loud? God is not deaf." And the little brother replied, "No, but Grandma is." You know, communication is important in any relationship. We must be able to talk and communicate with people. And when you fail to communicate honestly in a relationship, the relationship will suffer. And today's parable and next week's parable is about our communication with God. We're going to talk about prayer. And so let's look at our parable today. It's called the Parable of the Persistent Widow and the Crooked Judge. And look at Luke 18:1. It's a big passage, but we just need to read it all the way through. Verse 1, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.'" I'm assuming that she probably, when her husband died, that some rich guy was probably stealing her land. And so, verse 4, "For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" So this judge sits in a courtroom. It's most likely a tent that moved from village to village. And only those who were approved, were able to bring a case before the judge. And what that meant was that in order to be heard, you had to bribe one of the judge's assistants to get access to the judge. It says the judge did not fear God or man, so he didn't care about anybody that couldn't line his pockets. He wouldn't care about anybody that wasn't famous or prominent or had money. On the other hand, you see this poor widow. Life had dealt this widow a bitter blow. Her husband was dead. She probably had no brothers or father who was still alive to help her. Because a woman could not appear in the Jewish court without a man representing her. So she couldn't even go to court. And she was too poor to pay a bribe to be heard by this judge. But she's persistent. And the point of the sermon is Jesus says she was persistent. She pleads with the judge. I imagine her standing outside his court saying, "Give me justice, give me justice." She sees him on the street and says, "Give me justice, give me justice." She probably stands out his house at night and says, "Give me justice, give me justice." She keeps calling him out day after day, day after day. Eventually he says, "Man, I can't take any amount." Her persistence has worn him down. He says, "I can't take it, and I'm going to give in to her request." Wives, God is not giving you permission to nag your husband to death. That is not the point of this story. Just a side note, just so you know. And it's interesting, the reason why this judge helped the widow is because she was wearing him out. In King James, it uses the word weary. She was wearing him. And what's interesting is that word comes from a Greek word that means give a black eye. And I think what it's saying is that she's giving in because she's ruining his reputation. She's embarrassing him. So he's just going to give in and give her justice she wants. Now, what's interesting about this parable, it's a parable about contrast. You see this evil, selfish judge who doesn't want to help her. On the other hand, Jesus is saying, we have a Father in heaven. God loves us. God cares about us. We are God's children. This widow, the judge didn't care. The judge didn't care about anybody. And this widow had no standing. We are children of God. We can come before God anytime, claim any promise in this Bible, and ask God for it. So what's a contrast? Jesus is saying, if this judge will give in and answer that woman's request, what do you think God will do? God who loves you, God who calls you His children, won't He give you justice in the end? We are in a better position to pray because we are children of God. Those that belong to God belong to Him. You know, prayer is often a mystery to people. Just what is prayer? Does God really listen to our prayers? Does God answer prayers? And so let's look at our first point on our sermon outline. First point says prayer is talking with God. There's no mystery about prayer. It's just talking with God, nothing more, nothing less. And it's very clear in the Bible that God wants to talk to you. God wants to have a conversation with you. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be a pastor to talk to God. God wants to talk to you all the time, not just before bed, not just before a meal, not just when you need something. God wants to talk to you. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing. And you know the words before and after. Have joy, be grateful, pray without ceasing. I think that needs to be our attitude when we pray. We should be glad. We should be grateful when we make our requests before God. If we're not glad, if we're not grateful when we pray to God, it means there's something wrong, something not right. We need to get right with God. But what does it mean to pray without ceasing? Does that mean you just repeat the same prayer over and over? Do you pray ritualistic prayers? No, we're not supposed to do that. Does that mean we whine and cry before God all the time to get what we want? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is that prayer should be as natural to us as breathing. We don't think about breathing, we just breathe. And our prayer life, our attitude, our relationships, our awareness of God's presence should be as natural to us as breathing. The atmosphere in which we work, the sphere of our lives, we are aware of God's presence, of His will for us, and we are walking in His will. God is on our mind. God is in our heart all the time. When we're always doing the right thing because we know God's heart and God's will be in tune with God. We'll be connected to God. We'll be singing His song. And that is the best place you can be when you're talking with God. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. I do a lot of breath prayers during the day. When I'm writing a sermon and I get a great insight that really impacts me, I just have to say, thank you, God. That's a beautiful thought, God. Thank you for giving it to me. When I see a beautiful sunset as I'm driving home, and I see it, I say, man, God, your creation is wonderful. I praise you, God. When someone cuts me off on the road and makes me mad, I say, God, smite him. Smite him with a lightning bolt. No, I don't do that. I pray, God, give me grace. Help me to just let it go. You know, just breath prayers. Prayers, God's on our mind. See, as Christians, we don't have a religion. We have a relationship. And a key to healthy relationship is communication. It's talking with God and listening to God. That's why the church is called the Bride of Christ. That's why the believers are called the children of God. That's why believers are called the friends of God, because it is a relationship. But communication is a two-way street, and here's where most people fail when it comes to prayer. Communication is a two-way street, so we must be listening to God as much as we talk to God. And we have one mouth and two ears, so we should be listening more than we talk. So let's go to our second point, which is this. God speaks to us primarily through His Word. If you want to hear God's voice, you need to be reading God's Word every day. A very important point. If you want to hear God's voice, you have to be reading His Word every day. If you want to pray and talk to God, you have to be reading His Word every day. God speaks to us primarily through His Word. We hear God's voice 95% of the time. An answer to prayer is in this book. It comes through His Word. It comes through knowing His Word. When we read it, when we study it, when we understand it, when we hear it taught, when we sing it, it comes alive in us. It's embedded in us. And that seed of God's Word comes alive when we meditate on His Word and when we obey it. It's in there, and the inspiration for our answers to prayer comes when we have God's Word in our heart. When we meditate on it, on its meaning, when we obey it and do what it says, love God, love people, serve others, God speaks to us. If you look at 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God gave us His Word to teach us to do what is right. You know, well, should I steal this candy bar because I'm hungry? No, we know God's Word says don't do it. You don't have to pray about it. You already know God's will. It's to point out our mistakes. Call out sin because we know what we did was a sin because we know God's Word. To tell us how to correct our mistakes, to ask for forgiveness or to forgive someone, to set a relationship right. To train us to be men and women of God and to be right, so God's Word answers our prayers 95% of the time. And we will have less pain and problems if we know God's Word and we obey it. Now, the problem is many people know God's Word. They're scholars of the Bible, but they don't obey it. They don't believe it. They don't put it into practice, and we fall and make mistakes. The other 5% of the time, God speaks through us through Holy Spirit inspiration, through circumstances or events and things we see and experience, that God touches us in our soul with the Spirit. It's like God puts it in your thoughts or in your mind. Here comes the answer. You see someone and you feel compassion. So what do? Well, that's God touching your heart, inspiring you to act and do and minister to that person. God is telling you to serve them. Oftentimes after a sermon, people come up to me and say, man, your message spoke to me. They wonder how I knew that they were hurting and they needed to hear this message. And I say, well, I'm just wonderful. That's how good of a preacher I am. But no, it's not. It's just that God's Word came at the right time, touched their soul, and God spoke to them. But you have to be listening. If you don't open God's Word and read it, you're not listening. They say that, imagine that prayer is this hand and God's Word is this hand. If we don't get them together, the Holy Spirit cannot inspire us. But when prayer and His Word are in our heart, when we're prayerful, when God's Word is in our head and our heart, and we're praying with our head and our heart because we love God and we believe in Him, God answers prayer. He gives us wisdom. He gives us direction. One time a husband called me and he said that his wife was upset with him and he didn't know what to do. I tried not to burst out laughing at first. But I wanted to say, well, welcome to the Confused Husbands Club. But instead, because I'm a pastor and I try to be wise, I said, hey, you know, maybe the three of us should get together and we can talk. Let's get together, the three of us, and talk. And we can clear the air. We can talk about what's going on and stuff like that. And he said he would talk to her. And a few days went by, nothing. And so I finally texted him and I said, are we going to get together? Did you guys want to talk? He goes, oh, I talked to my wife about it. We talked it out and we have a better understanding and everything's good. Because talking is a two-way street. When we talk and when we listen and let a person listen, you know, we let a person talk, we take turns, it clears the air. You will hear the voice of God more often when you're talking to God and He's talking to you through the Spirit and through the Word. We have a better relationship with God. And it's a relationship. That's why Jesus says, pray and keep praying and don't give up praying. And then we see also in this passage, our third point says, be persistent in your prayers. When you pray, it says, pray and don't give up. You know, Daniel Boone was a famous frontiersman known for his outdoor skills and wandering and walking through the wilderness. And it says one time someone asked him, Daniel Boone, have you ever gotten lost in the wilderness? And he said, No, I've never been lost, but I've been bewildered for weeks at a time, but never lost. You know, maybe you're here today and some of you feel bewildered right now. You don't know what you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do. You're bewildered about your life. You're bewildered about your career. You're bewildered about your relationship. You're not quite sure. Do you get in or get out? Do you go left or do you go right? Do you step up or step down? But God says, pray and keep praying. Look at Ephesians 6:18. and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Keep praying. Be alert and keep praying. Pray all the time with all kinds of prayers. And you think, well, I thought there was just one prayer. We just ask God for our stuff. No, we praise God. We adore God. We give thanks to God. We do prayers of confession. We do prayers of supplication. But most of all, we pray in all sorts of prayer. We pray for people. We pray for us. We pray that God will use us to be faithful servants. Pray and keep praying with all kinds of prayers. See, the woman and the widow in the story was persistent. That was a quality that Jesus highlighted. And so the question is, well, if God wants to answer prayers, but he doesn't answer mine, why should I keep praying? Why should I keep praying? Because God has not given me an answer. And that's what I want to talk about now. First thing, persistent prayer focuses your attention. Why does God say, keep praying, don't give up? When you pray a prayer request over and over again, it's not to remind God that you're still waiting for the answer, because God knows your prayer request the first time you ask. God doesn't need to be reminded. God doesn't forget what's on our head and in our head and heart. It's to remind yourself of who the source of that answer is. It reminds yourself when you pray to God and you keep asking God, it reminds you that God is God and He is the one who has the power and the wisdom and the Spirit to answer our prayers. When we pray, we focus on who God is and His will for our life. So if you're praying and all you're doing is focusing on gimme, 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 you're not learning anything through your prayer. But if we focus on God, I'm trusting you for this. God, I want to do your will when you answer this prayer. That's very different. If every prayer you ever prayed was instantly answered by God, everything you prayed for, you asked for it and you got it immediately, just imagine what would happen. God would become a vending machine, right? You know, you just push that button on God and He'd give you what you want. God becomes a divine credit card you use to get what you want. God doesn't want spoiled children. And I encourage you parents, you know, if your children make a mistake, you know, and don't jump in and fix it right away. If your children ask you for something, you don't have to give it to them right away. If you do, you're just spoiling them. Make them wait. I was sitting with my grandson in the doctor's office. I was watching him while the little one was in the doctor's, in the waiting room. And I had a Kindle, because there was an hour and a half wait, and I didn't want to sit there for an hour and a half, so I had a Kindle, and I didn't have the Wi-Fi code or nothing, so we couldn't play half the games. And he goes, I want to play this one. I said, well, we can't play it right now. He goes, I want to play this one. I said, I don't have Wi-Fi connection. He goes, what's Wi-Fi? And I said, it's too hard to explain. We just can't play it. It's a thing in the sky, you know. But I said, you can't play it. And I'm thinking to myself, you just have to live with it. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't go up and complain. I didn't go up and ask for the signal code. I said, no, you just can't play it, because they need to learn to wait. If we spoil the children, they become weak. If we teach them patience and endurance and persistence, they become strong. God wants strong children who believe in Him, have faith in Him, and trust Him. Matthew 28:41, watch and pray so that you may not fall into temptation. We have to be on guard. Satan prowls like a lion. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So when we pray, we watch. As we're walking through life praying that God will answer our prayer, we watch because God may answer that prayer, but in a way you never imagine. We watch and pray that Satan will not tempt us, because sometimes our emotions take over and we give in and do another alternative. We try to solve our problem by ourselves because our emotions are pulling us a certain way. We keep working. We keep loving God. We keep loving people and serving others. The answer may come in an unexpected way, so we pray. We focus our attention on God. We watch and we wait. The second thing we see is that persistent prayer clarifies our request. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. It's very important when we pray. We are clear-minded. We're self-controlled. Our emotions are in control. We are clear-minded. Our thoughts are pure. When you are clear-minded, Your thoughts are pure. You know what you want. You know what you need. You know what God wants you to do with that answer. You're not driven by your emotions. You're not changing your mind constantly. Oh, God, never mind. I don't want that. I want this. Oh, God, never mind. I don't want that. I want this. We're clear-minded. We know what we want. A delayed answer gives you time to clarify what you want. Sometimes you'll learn that that desire you wanted so badly was more emotional than spiritual or practical, and it will fade, and you realize you don't really need that. You know, if you're dating, you see some, oh, I just love this girl, I love this guy, they must be mine. And over time, as you get to know that person, you realize, no, that's not right. You know, we don't want to be emotional and driven by our emotions. When you pray persistently to your Heavenly Father, you're saying the same thing over and over, and it separates deep longing from mere whims. How many times have we impulsively, yes, God, I'll, you know, we go to a camp, we hear revival, we hear great speaker, yes, God, I'll give you my life, I'll go to Africa, and then a month later, you don't really care, you don't even remember you made that promise. When you're praying, you keep praying, you're saying, God, I really care about this. It's not that God doesn't want to answer your prayers. He does, but He wants to make sure you're certain about what you really want. Is it what you really need? So we keep praying to clarify our prayers. The third thing we see is persistent prayer tests your faith. God will not answer your prayers without faith. We studied that in our Bible study this morning. One way you grow spiritually mature is by having your faith tested. You don't grow stronger as a child if you get everything your parents give you instantly, but when you have to wait, when you have to work for it and do a chore, and you get an allowance, you grow stronger. You develop great integrity and work skills. One way God tests your faith is to deny or delay your answer over and over again. But you say, well, that's not what I want. And God says, well, tough beans. That's what I want from you. I want to shape you. I want to make you into the person I want you to be. James 1:2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God wants you mature. God wants you complete. He wants you as close as you can be to look like Jesus Christ. But He has to shape your faith. God wants to shape us because He wants us to look like Jesus. God uses trials and troubles to strengthen our faith, but Satan wants to use our trials and troubles to tempt us to sin. And that's the choice. When we are hit with trials and troubles, will we turn to God and grow stronger, or we will turn to Satan and lose our faith? For the past 40 years, I've had a painful physical problem that I've lived with for 40 years. It hurts me every day. It's not life-threatening or anything like that. And I've asked God for the first 30 years, well, God, will you take it away? God, I don't like this. It bothers me every day. Will you remove it from me? He said, no, He won't. And then I read that passage that Paul talked about how he prayed that God would remove that thorn in his side 3 times, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient enough. I want you to be humble. I want you to learn compassion. I want to shape you to be a person that I can use to minister to other people. And so I accept that. I don't even pray that God will remove it anymore. I ask God to make me a compassionate and a humble person who will serve Him. Prayer tests our faith, and that shapes who we are. The fourth thing we see is that persistent prayer prepares your heart for the answer. When you keep praying, you really want it, your prayer request is pure, God is getting our heart ready for the answer. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when he asks, you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. When we pray for an answer, we must be willing to accept whatever God gives us and believe it and accept it. The problem with prayer for many people is they just want to know what the answer is going to be first so they can decide whether they really want it. You know, they want, you know, God, I'm praying for this person and I'm praying that they'll know Jesus. And God says, okay, I'm going to answer your prayer. You go talk to them and share the gospel. You're like, well, I didn't want to do that. I want you to send somebody over to talk to them. You know, God will answer your prayer, but are you ready to accept the answer? Are you ready to accept and obey God? And if God says no, are you going to throw a tantrum? Are you going to get mad? Are you going to get depressed? Are you ready? Is your heart ready for the answer? See, maybe God has already answered your prayers. Maybe your prayer request, and He said, no, no, I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to give that to you. You don't need it. It's not for you. I have better plans for you in the future. Maybe God said, wait. See, God can say yes, no, or wait. Maybe God says, no, wait. You're not ready for the answer. You know, you're praying that you will get a job, a good job, a good career that pays money. But God says, no, you're not ready. You're immature. You won't do a good job. You embarrass yourself. Go work in a convenience store, or go work stocking shelves, or doing something that's very humble to teach you skills, work skills on how to do things. Then you'll be ready for that good job, the job that you want. Is God saying no to you? If God says no, you have to accept the answer and walk with God and move on. Maybe God says, wait, you need to grow up a little bit more. When I was in college, in my high school years in college, I was walking with the Lord. I was sharing my faith. I'd go with Brother Stanley and knock on doors. I was teaching Scripture. And when I was in college, I thought I was going to be a pastor. I just assumed I'd be a pastor. The only thing I hadn't done was preach. And so I thought, oh, God, I guess I'll be a pastor. And I thought He said no. You know, I thought I didn't get an answer. I didn't get a yes, go. So I said, okay, well, I guess I'll be a CPA. So I became a CPA. And I think later, as I think back today, I realized that God didn't say no. He said, wait, wait, wait. I want you to go run a business. I want you to go hone your business skills. Wait. I want you to hone your people skills on how to talk to people and convince them to hire you for your services, because that'd be great when I use you as a pastor. Wait and hone your speaking skills and learn how to talk like an adult. Learn how to talk and be mature. So I've learned how to negotiate. I understand what motivates people. I learned how to get things done. And then when I was 43, God says, okay, you're ready now. Go be a pastor. And I'm like, 43? I have kids in high school. You know, it's like the worst time. But for God, He said, wait, now is a time. And I think back now, I am a better pastor with my experiences and knowledge at 43 than I would have been out of college. And that's just for me. That's how God called me. Did God say yes to you? Has God said no to you? Has God said, wait and grow up? God always wants to answer your prayer in one of those ways. And when God answers prayer, and when He's going to say yes to you, He answers in a bigger and better way than you can ever imagine. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power that has worked within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. God wants to answer in a way that's more powerful, in a better way than we could ever imagine. Just imagine you're struggling with a hurt. Maybe you're struggling with a habit, a bad habit or a hang-up, and you want God to help you. And God says, yes, I want to help you. Here is your plan. Here's your spiritual plan to help you find healing, to overcome your pain and your problems. But then God says, but I don't want it to stop there. I want you to use what your hurt, what you've learned from your hurt, to help other people. I want you to use what you have learned to help other people going through the same problem. As you walk through that problem and overpower it with the power of God's Word and power of God's Spirit, I want you to use your hurt to help somebody else. And that's how God answers our prayers in ways that we can't imagine. Wouldn't that be glorious? You're hurting, and you get healing from God, which He wants to give to you, but God has a plan for your healing. And then you get to help other people find healing, and they are delivered by God. That would be that's a kind of answer God wants to give, not just for you, but to glorify Him, to help do good for other people, to give of yourself to others. That's more than we can imagine. That's more than we can do on our own, but when God steps into our life. So pray and keep praying with boldness, confidence, and faith. Next week we're going to talk more about prayer. If you have questions about prayer, do I keep praying? Do I stop? Come talk to me. I preached on this many years ago, and they might still be on the webpage if you want to go look at the sermons on prayer. But if you're having challenges, you have questions, talk to me. Let's clear the air about your relationship with God. Our last point, number four, God is working while you are waiting. Just because you don't see anything happening, don't worry about it. Pray with confidence. Pray and keep praying. Remember that God's delays are not delays of inactivity, but God is constantly at work, at preparing hearts, preparing circumstances, preparing people. God works. We may not see it now, but one day the answer will appear. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. God will bring good about your bad if you walk with Him as you go through that valley of the shadow of death. God wants to work, is working to bring good out of your bad situation if your heart is right, your head is right. But we must wait patiently. We must allow God to shape us to be more like Jesus. We must patiently expect an answer. How many times do we just throw up prayers and we do prayer bombs on God? We just walk in and bomb God with prayer requests and we walk out and don't talk to Him again. We must wait and pray and expect an answer. We have to believe that God wants good out of our bad. We have to walk with Him. We have to confess our sins. We have to agree to do His will. We have to trust Him and love Him. Luke 18:8. I tell you that He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? You know, I think about those Christians who were killed by ISIS. They were beheaded. They were killed by this evil group. And we pray that God will give them justice. And God says, I will deliver justice. I will deliver justice. And it says that when the Son of Man comes, He's going to deliver justice. What does that mean? Sometimes we get justice on this earth in many situations, but oftentimes we will not see that justice. Jesus is saying, I will not answer your prayers until I return from heaven to earth. When I call you home, I will answer your prayers if I find faith. Will I still find faith? Keep praying. Will you still be praying? Will you still be waiting and working? Will you be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, and gladness? Or are you going to be angry and patient and bitter? God says, you wait. Be persistent. Be prayerful. So this means that many of our prayers will not be answered until God calls us home. Many of our prayers will not be answered until we step into heaven. And Jesus says, that's why I want you to pray and keep praying. You know, my physical problem will be gone the day I step, that moment I step into heaven, and then I won't care about it anymore because I will be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, walking with Him. So pray and keep praying. Ask others to pray for you. Ask others to pray with you. Maybe you need just to accept the answer that God, you know, God has already given you now. Maybe He said no, and you should say, okay, I'm going to move on and walk with you, Lord. Thank you for the answer. Maybe it says wait and you realize you're not ready for that answer. Lord, help me to grow and mature and complete. Maybe we just need to accept that answer. See, God wants a full and meaningful relationship with you. It begins when you pray and keep reading, keep praying. It begins when you read His Word and keep reading it. Pray, read God's Word. It goes together. Listen for God's voice. Brother and sister, if you're praying and you're frustrated, you're upset, you're angry, calm your soul down, confess your sin to God about your attitude, and rethink your prayer request. Clarify your prayer request. Think about, is this really what God wants for my life? You know, God answers in the spiritual more than the physical. All our physical pain and problems and suffering will be answered in heaven. Okay? We're getting older. We're not getting younger. All those physical things are answered in heaven. God really wants to answer the spiritual today to make you the person God wants you to be. Maybe you're going through testing and trials to shape you. Maybe you just say, God, shape me. I want to be the man or woman you want me to be. You need to pray with somebody. You need to talk about prayer. Come and see me. Come see Pastor Steve. Come see some of the brothers and sisters in our church. You know, God does give us one incredible promise. God says, I will answer one prayer every time it is prayed. If anybody answers this, prays this prayer with sincerity, with desire, I will answer. And that prayer is, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I've sinned against you. Please forgive me of my sins. God says, I will forgive that person. And then, Lord Jesus, will you come into my life and make me your child? I want to follow you. I'm going to commit my life to you and go to be with you in heaven. I will follow you all the way to heaven. God will always answer that prayer. So if you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior and Lord, or you're not sure if you ever have, I encourage you to pray that one prayer that God always answers and invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord and commit your life to follow Him. If you're here, brothers or sisters, you're struggling, don't struggle alone. Let's talk. Join the small group. List your prayer requests with your small group. Don't pray by yourself. We want to help you and walk with you. Whether you're going on the mountaintop or you're going through that valley of the shadow of death, we want to be with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just worship you now. We thank you, Lord, that, man, what a gift. You want to talk to us. You want to hear our requests. You want to answer our prayers, whether it be yes, no, or wait, or we'll see. Father, thank you for the opportunity to pray to you right now. I pray, Lord, as we pray this week, that each of us will listen for your voice, that our hearts will be in tune with you because we come to you with clean hands and a pure heart because we have confessed our sins and accepted the forgiveness you offer. Help us, Lord, to come to you today and this week that we may hear your voice through your word, through your spirit, through brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, just touch us with your word. And help us to pray and keep praying. But help us, Father, to listen. Help us, Lord, to become the people you want us to be, that we may answer other people's prayer. Father, help us to be an answer to the prayers other people are praying. They're praying for help. They're praying for friends. They're praying for direction. Father, maybe you will make us that answer to prayer. Use us. Make us available. When we help to answer their prayers, you will answer ours when we find our purpose for this life. So, Father, as we go into our decision time, I pray that all my brothers and sisters who are here who are praying, that one, they will be ready to accept whatever answer you give them with joy and with gratitude. And if there's someone here who needs to pray that first prayer to receive you as Savior and Lord today, they will do so and trust in you. Father, we just worship you. We want to walk with you, follow you all the way to heaven. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing our invitation song. If I can pray with you, encourage you in any way, if you want to come and make a decision, please stand and come forward as we sing. Let's stand.